Thank you for joining us here at Christ Fellowship for our online message podcast.
Well, I am honored to speak on behalf of Derek today, and I have the privilege of starting us out in a new series that he's entitled In a Box. Not that we can put God in a box, but we sure can put our understanding of God in a box. And so over the next several weeks, we're going to be stretched a little bit, you know, to take a step back, and maybe that we need to expand our understanding of who God is and how God works. And so as I was thinking about what I wanted to speak about today, several years ago, someone had advised me, when you have an opportunity to speak about what you're learning about. You know, so especially in this environment, to speak about what is God teaching you at the time. And so as I considered that, it was a very easy decision, because what I want to talk about today has been front and center in my world for probably the last 6 to 12 months, and that is hearing the voice of God. Now, that is a big topic, right? And as I thought about it, I mean, like several sermon series. So my goal is to condense all of that into one sermon in 30 minutes. All right, so buckle up. So as I thought about this, and as I read through Scripture, and I read through the Bible, what I see over and over again is how God speaks to people. Like audibly, out loud, they hear him speak. When you read in the Old Testament, we see he speaks to Adam and Eve. You know, in the garden, we see that he speaks to Moses. Like audibly, he speaks to him, you know, through shrubbery. He speaks to the prophets, Isaiah and Ezekiel, and they all hear him talk to him. When you look in the New Testament, we see when Jesus was baptized, people heard, you know, this big voice out of heaven when God, the Father, kind of made his statement of identity and proclaimed it over Jesus. And King David, you know, he would pray to God and he would ask for advice, ask for counsel, and then God would tell him what to do. I mean, just that kind of exchange. And so when I read through Scripture, like for me personally, like that creates a bit of envy inside of me. Like there's a bit of jealousy that kind of wells up, because that's what I want, right? Like if that can be had, like that's the kind of relationship I want with God. And aren't we all in that same boat, how we so long to hear him speak to us? And so I want you to think back in your life when you've faced decisions. So maybe you've had a situation come up and you've got to decide to go one way or the other. And so you say, you know what, I'm going to pray about this because maybe God has something to say about it. Now, I think there are times he would say, just decide, right? I think we can spin our wheels for a long time contemplating. But you face this decision, you say, okay, God, what do you want me to do? So for like our high school folks, like when you're thinking about where you want to go to college, right? And you're praying, God, do you want me to go to Tennessee or do you want me to go to Ohio State, right? You don't have to pray about that. We'll help you. No, you should pray about it. You should pray about that. Or maybe it's, you know, when you're buying your first home, right? And you're looking at houses. Do I like this house? Do I like that house? God, what do you want me to do? In all situations. And even like when you're raising your kids, because I think, unfortunately, the Bible doesn't have any iPhone. If you search for it, it's not listed in your Bible. So God, how do I handle devices with my kids, right? So all these situations come up and we just pray, God, would you speak? Would you give me wisdom? Would you help me to know what I need to do? If you've ever been in that situation where you're just yearning and just craving the voice of God, where a position where you say, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do here if you'll just make it known, right? Will you just speak into my life? I remember, so over 20 years ago when I was in college, and I entered into college with the intention of going into medicine and ultimately ended up doing so. But about halfway through college, I felt like God was kind of working on my heart, and I started raising just kind of the question of, well, maybe God's calling me to go more toward ministry rather than medicine. And so I did what the Bible says. Like I prayed about it, and I fasted, and I read Scripture, and I sought counsel from just godly people who knew me, you know, and kind of talked through that. And so then one day I said, all right, it's time to make a decision. And so I drove out, hiked down to Laurel Falls. So I kind of put my backpack on, hiked down, and I set up shop by the creek bed. Because I was like, today's the day, right? And so I sat there, and I was like, God, this is where I'm at. Like, just tell me what to do. Like, if you want me to go in this direction, that's the way I'll go, but I just need to hear it. And so I waited, just expecting this resounding voice out of heaven. And I waited, and I waited, and I heard nothing. Like tumbleweed, nothing. Quiet. And so I remember standing up and just being frustrated, and I put my backpack on and kind of hiked out. Just being frustrated by, God, like, if this is in my heart, right, if this is something you're working on, why would you be silent? Why would you not speak? And so maybe you found yourself in that situation. Maybe there's times when you felt like God communicated, but maybe there are times that you've sought his wisdom and you've sought him to speak out to you and you heard nothing, or maybe you felt like you've heard nothing. So it raises the question, what does God intend for us? Does he intend to speak to us and for us to be able to hear him? And is that for all of us? Or maybe that's just for a select few. Maybe that was just in biblical times, and now he doesn't speak, and it's only through scripture. Because I think we all agree, like, this is the inspired word of God, right? And so if we want to know what God thinks about something, it's the first place we go. But is that the only way that God would speak to us? So what I have found in my study and just kind of time pursuing Jesus is that I'm convinced he does still speak and that we can hear him. And so I hope that's what we can kind of grasp today. So as we dive into this, there's kind of a key principle that we first have to establish is that you and I, we are created by our Heavenly Father for an intimate, personal relationship with him. And we use that terminology so often in church, you know, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus? But I think if we were to step back and each of us kind of evaluate our walk with the Lord, I wonder how many of us would describe it as, I've got a lot of head knowledge. I've read the Bible, I've read the books, but my experiential knowledge is pretty limited. Because I would say, at least in my world, and I became a believer when I was 6, I was a pup, right? And so most of my life has been spent with a lot of head knowledge about God, but not necessarily a lot of experiential knowledge. About 15 years ago, all my college buddies and I, we decided we were going to hike down into the Grand Canyon. And so I had never done that, and I'd seen it online, you know, and this was before Google Earth was around, right? So now you can kind of fly down the middle of it. So we go out there, we're standing on the south rim and just kind of looking down, and you can't even see the bottom. You know, if you've been out there, you know this. You can't even see the bottom, and so we just start hiking down. And you would just go deeper and deeper, and it would plane out, and you would think you're at the bottom, and then you would come and look over the edge, and there's just more. And all the way down to the bottom, and you soak your feet in the river. And we hung out there for a few days and just kind of hiked around, and then we hiked back out. And if you've done that, like, that's a tough hike, and I'm not a hiker, right? And so it's just these switchbacks back and forth. I mean, just grueling. And so we got out back on top of the south rim, and my knowledge of the Grand Canyon was way different than it had been 72 hours prior because I had experienced it, right? I'd been kind of in the depths of that canyon. And I'm convinced that that's what God desires for us as well, not just to operate on head knowledge, but to explore just the depth and the magnitude of who he is. If you look in John chapter 17, let me read this. So Jesus is praying, and I want you to listen to this. So John 17, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. Now listen to this. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I thought eternal life was just what happens after death. That's not what Jesus says. Jesus says eternal life is that we know the Father, and we know Jesus, whom he sent. And when you study, when you kind of drilled in this and look at the Greek on it, the term know there is the most deep, intimate, personal type of knowledge. That's what God desires for us. And so may we never be content just with the head knowledge of God rather than experiential knowledge, because my fear is I think a lot of us hang out at that level for most of our Christian walk, and we miss completely on what God has for us and the depth that he wants us to know him. So if we go back to the very beginning, if you go to Genesis, so God is existing in the Trinity, right? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit in communion, in relationship, in conversation. And we see where God, you know, he creates man in his own image. So if you look at Genesis 1, verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. So we talk often about how we are created in his image. And so that desire inside of each of us for relationship, for communication, for communion. That's because we're created, that's the fingerprint of God on our lives. Like, we are image bearers of a relational, communicating God. And so it shouldn't be a surprise to us that, man, we want to know and we want to communicate with the God who has created us. That's how he has made us. And then look in verse 28. So, and God blessed them. God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. So he creates man. He breathes life into him. But he doesn't just launch him into the garden and kind of back away and just let everything happen. No, he creates man, and the first thing he does is he blesses him, and then he speaks to him. So from the very beginning of man's existence on the earth, God is in communication. God is talking with him. And then you know the story. So Adam and Eve are there. They sin, and then they realize what they've done. They realize that they're naked, and they go and they hide from God. And so then God comes down, chapter 3. We're not going to go chapter by chapter, by the way. So verse 8, listen to this. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But listen, but the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" So when God created man, like, he knew we would sin, right? He knew that before he ever put the breath of life into us. And so it was not a surprise that when Adam and Eve sinned, like, that didn't catch him off guard. But if you'll notice what he does, so they're hiding, ashamed of what they have done, and what is God? He's in their midst calling out to them. Aren't you thankful, especially if you're a follower of Christ before you came to know him, aren't you thankful that despite the sin and the disobedience and the shame that we have on ourselves, that that doesn't make God go silent? That he is still speaking and in our midst and calling out to us. And so God, he gets them and he sits down as a father would and he walks them through what they've done and the consequences of it. And then when you read the end of chapter 3, you just see a merciful father, because they're still sitting there in shame, just recognizing that they're naked, and he makes clothes for them, right? So the merciful father takes care of his children even in the midst of our disobedience and even in the midst of our shame. And so we're made for relationship with God. And so if you consider any relationship, right, relationship with one another and relationship with our Heavenly Father, absolutely essential to that relationship is communication. Because a healthy relationship is founded upon communication and time together, right? So I can know Scott, okay? I can know who Scott is. I can know that he attends our church. I can know what he does for a living. I can know about his wife. I can know his hobbies. But if Scott and I have never sat down and talked with one another and spent time with one another, I don't have a relationship with Scott. I just know a lot about Scott. And it's the same way with our Heavenly Father. If we're not spending time and communicating with him, we just know a lot about him. So we're trying to teach our kids just about proper communication skills, because as I've shared, we have 5 kids that are ages 5 to 12. And one of the things we do at dinner time is we kind of sit around the table and everyone goes around and talks about how their day was. And so we try to, like, give everybody their opportunity to speak. And we also have tried to help the kids understand, like, so ask questions, right? And so one of the kids will, like, "I had a good day." And then so then somebody, usually Campbell, our little fireball of a 7-year-old, will say, "Well, why was it good? What was good about it?" And so this conversation will go. The problem is that everybody has a voice and everybody wants to be heard. And so as the dinner progresses, so does the decibels at the dinner table. And it gets louder and louder. And eventually, usually Campbell, is screaming, not because he's mad, but he just wants to be heard. And so then, usually me, will be like, "Why are you screaming?" I scream at him. I don't know where he gets it from. But we try to talk with our kids about just how, you know, what's proper communication. Because communication is a two-way street, right? It's talking, but it's also listening. And we're all really good at talking and often not really good at listening. I'm bad about that. Like, I'll be talking with my wife, Lindsay, and we'll talk and she'll start talking. And if I'm not intentional, like, my mind will kind of wander, you know? And I'll admit, we do this, right? And so then, like, she'll finish and I'll ask her a question and she'll be like, "Eric, I just told you that." Right? And so you have to be actively engaged. It's a two-way street. And sometimes conversations are just kind of fun, right? Sometimes they're serious. And sometimes it's confession, like, "Hey, I'm sorry." It's apologies. Sometimes it's encouragement. It doesn't matter the topic, but it's a dynamic. It's an interactive dialogue. And so I don't think it's too much of a stretch for us to take those communication principles and apply them over to our relationship with God. So I want you to open your Bibles to John 10. It's supposed to be kind of our main text for the morning. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, 4th gospel. And so Jesus is teaching here. And as we know, Jesus often would teach in parables, right? He would describe situations that people understood at the time and then use that to teach eternal kingdom-based principles. And so he's teaching here. So John chapter 10, we're going to be in verse 1.
Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. Now listen to this. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. So often we see in Scripture that Jesus is referred to as a shepherd, as the good shepherd, and that we as followers of Christ, as believers in Christ, are often referred to as sheep. Now, I don't know what your knowledge base of sheep is, but mine was nothing prior to this. And so I went back and just did a little bit of reading about the whole ancient Eastern customs as it related to shepherds and sheep. And here's what I found. So sheep are rather passive animals, right? They're kind of defenseless. They like to stay in the herd, you know, kind of groupies, if you will. They don't like to venture out because when they do, they know that they are very vulnerable when they're by themselves. And so they stay in the flock. And if you take a step back and you look at them from a distance, they all pretty much look the same until you get up close. And then you see every sheep is a little different. All of them have a different uniqueness, a different blemish about them. And what we know about sheep is that they long for the shepherd. They long for someone to lead them. They long for somebody to guide them. And so the shepherd would essentially devote his life to the care of the sheep and to the health and to the protection of them, and the sheep would follow him. And so as Jesus is describing this, the people would be listening and say, okay, I get that. Like, I understand what you're trying to say as far as shepherd and sheep, but they weren't drawing the connection what he was trying to communicate, which we see so frequently in Scripture. And I share that, if nothing else, as a word of encouragement. Like, when we read through Scripture and it doesn't make sense, like, that's okay, right? Because they didn't understand it. Even his disciples, he would have to spell it out sometimes for them to understand it. But Jesus, being the patient teacher, he drills down further. So in verse 11, he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And go to verse 14. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Like, what a beautiful prophetic moment of what he would do. And they didn't have any idea at the time, but what Jesus would do. So Jesus says, look, so I've told you about shepherd and sheep. Like, that's me. I am the shepherd, and you are the sheep. And so he tells us that he calls us by name. And so some of us need to know this, because you may feel just kind of indifferent. Like, you may feel that you're just one of the crowd that everybody kind of looks past. You need to know that that's not how your Creator sees you. Like, he sees you as a unique individual created by him. So Jesus calls out to you by name. And so the implication of that is Jesus has a voice and he speaks, and the sheep can hear his voice. And you'll notice that Jesus doesn't put qualifiers on it. He doesn't say that the perfect sheep hear his voice, or the sheep with the fewest blemishes, the most obedient sheep, right? The sheep that sit up front so there's hope for you in the back, right? But he says his sheep. And so it's not just the theologians, and it's not just the spiritually elite. It's not the pastors, the Pope. He says his sheep, that's an all-inclusive statement, that we can hear him. But Jesus also says that his sheep hear other voices. And I think we all would attest to that fact, right? Because there's so many voices speaking into our worlds every day. And unfortunately, when we give our lives to Christ, it's not like there's a mute button for all those others. Because culture and critics will always have something to say about how we choose to live our lives and the things that we choose to do and not do. There's always voices. The enemy, man, just pounces on us to try to distract us and really trying to demand our allegiance and our attention away from the good shepherd. And notice what Jesus says. So he says there's other voices, but listen in verse 5. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. So often we end up kind of entertaining those other voices, right? And we listen like, well, maybe that I should go in that direction, or maybe this is okay, or that is, you know, whatever it may be. But Jesus says, no, you don't even entertain it. You flee from it. And because safety is found not necessarily in being able to identify all of those other voices, but just knowing, you know what, that's not the voice of my shepherd. And so I'm not even going to give it a second thought. So Jesus says, we hear those voices. And then the other beautiful thing about this is the type of intimacy that Jesus offers. So in verse 14, I'm the good shepherd, I know my own, and my own know me, "Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." So we see all through Scripture that Jesus and the Father are one. Constant communication, constant unity. And Jesus says, "My sheep can have the same relationship with me as I have with the Father." I mean, that should blow our minds, right? That the very God that created everything verbally, like he spoke it into being, can speak to us, we can hear him, and we can share in that depth of intimacy with our Creator. I mean, have you ever stopped to consider that? So if it's possible, and if we take Jesus at his word, and we say, okay, so if you do speak and you can be heard, what do we do with it? And so I want you to flip over to Job. So if you take the middle of your Bible, or take your Bible, open up to the middle and turn left. Job, chapter 33. So if you know the story of Job, you know, we talk about having bad days. Like for Job, like, man, like his whole world came crashing down on him in a hurry. I mean, he lost his health, he lost his finances, he lost his entire family, everything. And so he's surrounded by these advisors who basically are saying, look, man, like, give it up. Throw in the towel. God clearly does not care about you. Clearly, he's not going to speak to you. So just be done with it. And so there's this young advisor named Elihu. And if you read the preceding chapters, it's interesting because he's just kind of biding his time, right? He's just letting his elders speak. And then he kind of steps up to the plate, which is a good reminder for us that sometimes those younger than us can speak truth into our lives. And so Elihu steps up, and this is what he says. This is the New Living Translation. "So why are you bringing a charge against him? Why say he does not respond to people's complaints? For God speaks again and again, though people do not recognize it. He speaks in dreams, in visions of the night, when deep sleep falls on people as they lie in their beds." The ESV puts it this way: "For God speaks in one way and in two, though man does not perceive it." God is always speaking. So if that's the case, if God is always speaking, is it possible that you and I, as followers of Christ, have heard him, we just didn't identify that it was God speaking to us? You know, that you had just this strange coincidence. Kate talked about that a few weeks ago. And so we could say, well, that was just a coincidence that I saw this message. Or could it be that that was God speaking in that moment? You come across somebody, and maybe it's something you're struggling with, and they just have like that perfect word to speak to you, and you walk away thinking, man, I'm glad I ran into them. Is it possible that that's God speaking through them? Or if you read Scripture, and we've all, you know, hopefully have had that experience where you come across that certain verse, and man, it just kind of pops off the page and like hits you right where you need. This happened to me Tuesday morning. I was up reading, I was just kind of thinking and praying through some stuff, and just kind of felt just this nudge, if you will, like to go to Proverbs 4. And I was reading through it, and at the very end, like exactly what I needed at that moment in that situation. So is it possible that you and I have heard God speak, we just haven't identified it? Because I'm convinced that we either just miss it, we dismiss it, or we misattribute it to something else when he is speaking. And so as I was thinking about this, I was reminded, like, when I was a kid. So you remember these old transmitter radios, right? You ever have digital now? So we had one of these in our living room. And so, you know, when you turn these things on, you know, there's a lot of static, right? And so you start kind of turning that dial, and you watch that little wand move. And then static starts to get a little more like sound. All of a sudden, you hear music. And then you turn it some more, and it goes away. Then you come to a different station, different genre. And maybe it's a talk show, whatever it may be. But as you tune in, and over time, the more you kind of turn that dial, you start to associate certain frequencies with certain stations. And so this was before, you know, all Tennessee football games were on TV, and so a lot of times it was just on the radio. And so for Tennessee fans, like, you remember John Ward, you know, he did all the play-by-play, like a legend in sports. And so, and when he would call a game, I mean, he had a unique way of calling it. Nobody else had ever done it like him. I won't even try to impersonate it, but it was very unique. And so we would turn the radio on, and a lot of times my dad would actually mute the TV and listen to Ward's play-by-play. So that rather than listen to the commentators. And so on the games, when maybe it wasn't on television, we turn the radio on. You know the game's on, but you just don't hear it, so you start turning, and you're not hearing anything. And just because we didn't hear it, it didn't mean that the station had stopped transmitting the signal. We just weren't tuned in to the right station quite yet. And you turn the dial, and then eventually, there it was. You recognize his voice, and that's it, and you leave it right there. And so I don't think it's too much of a stretch to think that God, in the same way, is always transmitting his signal. He's always speaking to us. We just may not be tuned in, if you will, right? We may not just be perceiving that he's speaking. And part of that is that it requires us to kind of change our mindset, change our expectations of how he might speak, because we have a tendency of taking, as limited human beings, taking our limited understanding about communication and trying to apply it to an unlimited God. And so we have to take a step back and say, okay, how might God speak to me in ways that I can't even appreciate or even understand? So I want to give you three key principles, kind of keys to hearing the voice of God. So number one is that we have to spend time with him, because relationships are founded upon communication and time together. And if we are not engaging Christ and spending time with him, it's going to be hard to hear him, isn't it? And the more that we're in the Word, and the more time that we spend with him, the more that we start to hear him and we start to understand him and understand ways that he talks to us. Now, the challenge with this is that we have to give God room to speak, because we all, I think, are very guilty of just having so much stimulation. There's so much noise, so much busyness that we just don't allow God to speak. Now, can he speak over that? Sure. But his voice is often described as that still, quiet, that whisper. Think about this. So if you take your sweetheart out for Valentine's Day this week and you sit down, and as soon as you sit down, you just start talking. I mean, just vomiting at the mouth, right? And you talk. Then when you're done, you stand up and you leave. Like, how happy with you is your significant other going to be, right? But don't we, to a certain extent, we do the same thing with God? Like, we sit down with good intentions, right, to engage the Word. And so we read and we pray and then we're gone. It's the same thing as don't take this the wrong way, like you're meeting Jesus for coffee, right? You walk in and you sit down, like, hey, Jesus, hey, thanks for the coffee. It's good to see you. This is what's going on in my world today. I'm worried about this. If you can be with my son who is sick, if you can just go ahead and meet me at work, I'll meet you there and we'll do this. And we walk out. And he's like, let me talk, right? So we have to give margin. We have to give God room to speak. And so we have to give him that space. Number two is that we have to learn how he communicates. And I think the best way to start doing that is just looking in the Word and seeing, God, how do you communicate? You know, you put that lens on as you read Scripture. Okay, so I see God communicates in this way. Okay, I see he communicates in this way, in this way. And so we begin to learn that God communicates in a lot of different ways, and we just learn to identify. It's kind of like with your phone, right? So if you've got a new contact, and somebody calls you, and you talk to them, and then you assign a name to their phone number. And so then the next time they call you, you see the name, you recognize the voice. Well, then maybe they send you a text message. Ah, this person communicates via text messages as well. And they send you an email. Same person, different methods of communication, but it's still communication. So we have to learn the ways that God can communicate with us. And the best way to start is in Scripture. And then the third way, or the third key principle to it, is that we have to be obedient. Because if you notice in the parable Jesus told, his sheep heard his voice, and what did they do? They followed him, right? They didn't just sit back and listen, and then he walked off. No, they followed him as he led. And I'm convinced that the more that we follow Christ, the easier it becomes for us to hear him. But the greatest barrier we face with that is just doubt, right? Who am I that God's going to talk to me? And we doubt it. Or like you get a word from God and you feel like that was clearly the Lord speaking. How long is it, especially if we kind of are idle, how long is it before we say, maybe God didn't really say that to me? And man, doesn't the enemy pounce on that? Did God really tell you not to eat of that tree? Right? And so then we start doubting and we become completely inactive. So we have to be obedient. But the more obedient we are, then the more we can learn to hear him speak. And so I want to show you, and this is a very brief list, okay, or a survey, so don't try to write this down, okay? But I want you to think about this for a second. So as I read through Scripture, and I see all the different ways that God speaks, and this is just some of them. As we talked, we see that he speaks audibly, right? He talks to people. We see that he speaks through nature. We were at the beach last summer, and I got up one morning, it was kind of early, and I was just watching the sun come up, and the Holy Spirit kind of just brought to my mind the Scripture in Psalms about the heavens proclaiming the glory of God, the skies declaring the work of his hands. And it wasn't that I opened my Bible and started searching for sunrise, right? But God speaks through Scripture and through nature. And as we talked, like reading Scripture, and I'm convinced that the more that we saturate our minds with the scripture, then that creates a reservoir from which the Holy Spirit then can draw verses to your mind at the right time and in the right situation. And so we have to be in the Word. We have to recognize that that's one of the way God speaks. God speaks through other people. You know, in the Old Testament, he spoke through prophets. In the New Testament, he speaks. Obviously, Jesus speaks. He speaks through the apostles. And I'm convinced that's one of the ways he speaks to us. And that's happened to me. And I had a situation where a really close friend of mine, just a godly man, I just saw just a couple things in his marriage. I was like, and it was nothing major, but just I felt like it was unhealthy. And God was like, you need to talk to him. And I'm like, I don't want to do that. Like, that's uncomfortable, right? To call a brother out about something. But I knew it's what I had to do. And so we had this talk. And he would tell you that that conversation was pivotal in the health of his marriage. Now, that's not because of anything I did, right? But God speaks through us into the lives of others and through others into our lives. And so we have to be aware of that. God speaks through dreams, through visions. So I'll tell you a story about my aunt. So I was talking with her over the holidays, and one of the ways that God speaks to my aunt is through dreams. Now, it's not every night, okay? It's not every single dream, but she will have a dream that's very vivid, and often it's about her family in some way, and she'll wake up in the morning and think, man, and usually within a handful of days, like whatever happened in her dream, I mean, it's prophetic, like comes to place. And maybe it's just a conversation that needs to happen, but that's one of the ways that God speaks to her. And so doesn't it encourage our faith as we talk to other believers and we see how God speaks in their lives? Doesn't that encourage our faith of, hey, maybe that's a way that God will speak to me? Now, the disclaimer is this. So when we read through scripture and we see this, these and so many more, there's no guarantee that God's going to choose to speak to me and you in the same way that he spoke here. He may, right? That's his choice. Like, and he'll speak when he wants to and how he wants to. But remember, we serve an infinite creator. And so it may be that he's going to use this creative way to speak to you in a way that he's never spoke before. And so just being receptive and recognizing that he may speak. So as I was thinking about this over the holidays, I was driving home one night and it was late, and so I knew everybody was kind of in bed. And I was thinking about just 20 years ago when I was sitting in the woods and I was just kind of waiting for this resounding voice, you know, to come out of heaven, out of the heavens. And what I recognized was that I'd kind of harbored some frustration for 2 decades over that. You know, and Derek has so often told us, like, the best place to start is just be honest with God, right? And just be truthful. And so I was praying. I was like, God, like, I know you know this, but, like, this frustrated me. You know, not so much about the choice, but just about, like, it frustrated me that I so wanted to hear you speak, and all I felt I heard was silence. Because, I wanted to hear it. And as soon as I confessed it, and this was no audible voice of God, okay? But what I heard in my spirit was, Eric, I wasn't silent. I just wasn't calling you into ministry at the time. And what followed that was complete peace because I knew he spoke. I just missed it. So I'm convinced that he speaks. And for us, I think the challenge is learning just to tune in and listen to how he speaks, because our God desires an intimate, personal relationship with us, one that's founded upon communication, that he's actually talking. And so I want to give you a challenge this week. I want you to get alone, lock your kids in their rooms, don't do that, but get by yourself, and I put this at the bottom of your notes, just ask the question, God, would you remind me of a time that you spoke to me? Maybe a time that I missed, or maybe a time that I even heard, but would you remind me of a time that you spoke to me? And then give God the room and the margin to speak in whatever way he chooses to speak. Because here's what I'm convinced of, that the more that we can learn to hear the voice of the God who is constantly speaking to us, then the more obedient we become, and that ushers in the kingdom of God into each of our lives. Let's pray together. God, we are thankful that you are a God who speaks, that you are not silent, and that we just often don't perceive it. And we just declare that before you, and we confess that. And God, would you give us ears to hear you? Would you speak in a way that we can hear you and that we can understand you, that we might grow in more intimacy with you, that we might grow in being more obedient to the things you've called us to do, that ultimately it indeed just ushers in the kingdom of God, and that it's all for your glory. In the name of Jesus that we pray, amen.